Straight down the middle.
This is Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence. Your 8:03 tee time every Sunday morning right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by tweeting Matthew at ML on WLXG. Ask questions or comments on what you'd like Matthew to talk about on the show. Today's show is sponsored by French Lick Resort, Lexington Parks and Recreation, Play Golf Lexington, and by Edwin Watts Golf. Let's join your host, Matthew Lawrence, for Backspin Golf.
I hope you're having a great Sunday so far. It's 8 o'clock, a little after 8. And if you're like me, you've already been up for a couple hours. And if not, I hope you have a great Sunday after you listen to us here on Backspin Golf on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Let me say right off the top, I'm done with all the weather changes here in the Bluegrass. 70 degrees one day, 25, 45, 28, 52. I'm done with it. Let's just have the cold weather and then turn the switch and have it be golf weather from then on. Not let me play one Sunday because it's warm and then have to go back to this stuff. I'm just done with it. Got another great show lined up, as always. Every Sunday we do. Of course, Perry French, our Cleveland Golf Strixon pro, and I will have another really fun conversation, which I always do with him. I'm getting in my new Cleveland Golf wedge. I can't wait. Can't wait. I can't wait till I actually can use it. That's all I'll say about it. Perry will join me. And then one of my favorite people, Frank Bassett, who is the co-host of Golf Talk America on PGATour.com. Big deal. These guys do incredible work in the world of golf podcasts. Really fun people. I've known Frank for a while. It'll be great to talk to him. He's always fun. He's a funny guy. And then my friend Matt Saturnus, who is with Plugged In Golf, and his website is pluggedingolf.com. And I'll mention it again, obviously, when we talk to him. Check out that website. It's fantastic. It's product reviews, everything from clubs, clothes, all golf shoes, everything you can think of having to do with golf is what Matt Saturnus and all his buddies at Plugged In Golf talk about. There's a great portion of his website about instruction, really, really good stuff that'll help you with your game. So he'll join us too. There are a lot of things going on, obviously Valspar, different things. We're waiting for the Masters. And with Frank Bassett, I'm going to talk a little about the Arnold Palmer Invitational, which is next week, and my feelings about what's going on with that. All right, we're ready to roll here on a Sunday morning. It's Backspin Golf right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Now, joining Matthew on Backspin Golf is Perry French, PGA professional and territory manager of Strixon Cleveland Golf.
Perry French, you've been waiting.
Yeah.
I've been working on some new songs using the Perry French intro.
Okay.
I always go back to kind of a jazzy kind of, because it says golf to me. Perry French, you know, something like that. Something a little Frank.
Yeah, you definitely have a lot of Frank, kinda. Frankie Sinatra.
Well, I do.
Just okay. your
I'm a
being.
Skinny guy who's not that good looking.
From New
That's
York City.
That's what I got from Frank. Hi, Perry French.
Hey, good day, Parts.
He's from New Jersey. Anyway.
Is he from
Hoboken?
Jersey? Oh,
yeah,
okay.
That's right. But it's kind of the same thing. How are you?
I'm great. Yeah, just can't believe we're ready for the golf season to get started.
I know. This is awesome. Awesome. Here's what I want to talk to you about this week. We're starting, even though we're in March now, we've had some tournaments.
Yeah.
We've had the California swing, the Florida swing going on. I think we don't have that long till the Masters, which to all of
amazing.
Us, not only signals the true beginning of golf season, but spring.
Yeah.
I mean, I keep posting on Facebook and Twitter, 132 days till the Masters. You know, we keep counting down. Yeah. And now it's really within sight.
Right.
So let's you and I talk for a minute about the start of this, especially the major season. Who are we expecting to have a really big year this year?
I think there's, you know, what we see in the golf world right now, and like we do in all sports, is the young guys, when they break from the college ranks and into the pro ranks at all sports, we see it in one and dones in basketball, we see it all the rookies in football who come out and they play great their first season. You know, there is no lead-in time.
Right.
Baseball players, and the golfers are doing the same thing. We've seen it with Jordan Spieth. We saw it with Justin Thomas having a breakout, you know, start the year with two back-to-back wins, 59.
Yep.
The number of wins up until Ricky winning 2 weeks ago, 25 years and under, 7 consecutive events. Ricky's 28, you know, was the 8th event.
Yeah, he screwed that up.
And this is what's going on out there. And I think there's no reason to think it's going to be any different going forward as we head to the majors. I think the Ricky Fowler coming, you know, right out of the gate, who really hasn't played well typically early in the season. These guys are getting their feet under them early. They're preparing for the start of the West Coast swing,
right.
You know, moving to Florida, and now it's time to gear up for the first major. I think a lot of them don't quite put that on their radar like a Tiger does or a Phil does. It's there. It's the Ernie. Mm-hmm. These guys who are legends of the game now, they are going to be challenged right from the get-go by the youngest players of the game. So we're going to see Jordan Spieth show himself up. We're going to see Dustin Johnson, who's off to a great start.
Number one in the world.
There you go. That's just enough being said. Jason Day. I mean, Rory. These guys are going to be there this season again. It's not going to change. Who are the young guys that we might pop up beside? And we know Justin's been there, obviously a local guy from Louisville. But who's the next young kid behind him, you know?
Is it Daniel Berger, maybe?
He's been right there, absolutely. Matsuyama's 25, you know, our guy. These are some things. There's guys that I think the usual suspects will be there, the guys that we know. I don't see any reason why it to be any different.
All right, here's what – I'm going to read this to you. And if you're listening and you're on Twitter – and you don't follow Justin Ray, it's at Justin Ray GC. The GC stands for Golf Channel. He is the golf statistician for Golf Channel. He is unbelievable. The stuff he puts up, and it's fantastic. This is from a couple days ago. There are now 6 players currently 28 or younger with 4+ PGA Tour wins. McIlroy, Spieth, Reed, Matsuyama, Thomas, and Fowler. Now, there are other lists that are out about guys that won four PGA tournaments at a young age. And the list is unbelievable. I mean, Justin Thomas, being as young as he is, that list is very short. And it's, you know, Tiger, and there's like 4 guys on that list.
Yeah, Tiger, Jordan, Jack, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, so, out of that, from Jack winning when he was that young, who is the next guy? What's generationally it's happened? Now we're seeing more than just a Jack. These guys are all coming out there.
Right.
They've got so much golf in their bag before they ever make it to the tour. They've played in umpteen high level of competitions. And so they're ready to win. And that's what makes it exciting, because you look up here, we can go, who's that guy?
Right.
No, he's the guy who made his tour card, and he's 22 years old, and he's going to have a chance to win this
week.
He may not pull it off, you know, but we're seeing it every week.
And you see, you turn on a tournament on Thursday, and there are 5 of those guys on the leaderboard, and you go, wait a minute, I don't even know who that is.
Right.
Oh, he shot 63? Oh, okay. That's Cody Gribble.
Cody Gribble.
Who fell off.
Brian Harman shot 61 over at, you know, but didn't play well as it turned out, the golf course.
But they're going to learn, and they
Cody
have
Cody Gribble won last year. He's 24 years old.
Obviously have the talent.
This is it's a unique phenomenon in all sport.
Right.
We all know that the younger you are, in that window, you're going to probably have your best success. But there's at the maturation point. And I certainly think golf in a lot of ways has that highest, more perceived level of being mature, being able to handle it. They always say, well, you're going to get there a few times and learn how to lose or learn how to win.
Right.
You know, that's what's, you know,
you learn how to win through losing.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's, is that the case? These kids have won enough before they got there.
Right.
So they've already done, they've already had that exposure to learning how to win through losing.
Okay. Now, we talked about the Masters.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan, obviously, is one of these guys. He's already won this year.
Yes.
Yeah. Everybody said he had a bad year last year. Really?
Yeah.
Like, look at what he did last year. Now, compared to the year before, maybe.
Yeah, of course.
But he had a pretty good year last year, too. Now, he's going into the Masters. Everybody knows. When he won the tournament a couple weeks ago, that's all they talked about on Sunday.
Right. How's he going to deal with getting to
wait till he gets to 12 on Thursday and the heat of the tournament.
Yeah, long past that.
This is Jordan Spieth, for goodness
sake. He won at the Colonial last year in May, which was not too far, within a month.
Yeah.
So
yeah, but he's got to go back to number 12 at Augusta, where that whole thing happened on Sunday.
He had that article that there was that he went back in December and played there as just a casual kind of to remove the demons. And he played 12 and re-strategized how to play it. And I think that as in preparation goes, he'll be long past it by the time he gets there in the first round of the Masters. I would not be surprised if, as we see with many former Masters champions, they always play well.
Right.
When they get back there.
Yeah.
It's a love for that place. It's a comfort. It's an intrinsic thing that they have. And, you know, all the way to Freddie continuing to be a competitor up until recent years, you know. And, you know, will this be where Tiger shows up? Is Tiger going to find his game?
I don't know. We'll take a whole show to talk about Tiger, because this whole thing is, it gets me very upset and it makes me sad.
I knew when he announced his comeback, played in Jamaica. He played in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
And, you know, played, made the most birdies of the tournament, but obviously finished 17th out of 18. Listen, he had to get through a year of being able to play competitive golf and not be hurt. It didn't happen.
I knew when he said travel and all those things that go with it. 4 weeks out of five, and one of them was going to Dubai and flying back.
It's just the type of thing where, until he can find himself in the wellness category of being able just to compete and play four rounds, not two, make some cuts. That's that momentum, those baby steps that, you know, it's hard to imagine talking about Tiger Woods and taking baby steps to get back in the arena. But there's no one who's afraid of him. The comments have already been out there by players. They're not afraid of Tiger Woods.
Yeah. Why would they be?
No, he's – but – we as a golfing public, and certainly the industry of golf, he is the needle.
He is
the needle, and people put the eyeballs on the TV. We want him to be relevant. It'd be fun to see him show up, much like as when Phil. You know, Phil hasn't won since 2013.
That's
when he won the British Open. I thought he won it. You know, without should have won it last year, but it was like it's been that long. That's the last time he won.
Right.
But he's still relevant.
Yeah.
He's there. Mm-hmm. He's dynamic, and we'll see Phil. He'll show up at the Masters and make some noise. And that's the beauty of the game of golf. It has that longevity to those players who we hope continue to capture their game into their twilight of their career. And I think you'll see that from Tiger if he can stay healthy. That's all he needs is health.
Okay. Before we end our segment this week.
Yeah.
We always talk, and we'll talk more as we get into this again, about wedge play, drills we can do, the technical aspect of your expertise as my pro,
my
teaching pro. Real quickly, Dustin Johnson is now number one in the world because he finally took months.
Mm-hmm.
I forget who was talking about it this past week. Or last week, that he was lazy before. They actually used that word. He was not committed.
Right.
He finally took time and worked only on his wedge game with a track man, with all kinds of stuff. And lo and behold, look what happens. We all know how long he hits it,
absolutely.
But now he's the number one player in the world.
It's it's a proof in the pudding. He took the time. He went through the stats and looked where he was in his proximity with inside of 150 yards and was way down the list. And this is a guy who, my gosh, most
had
all
a wedge
the time,
in his hand all the
he's,
time.
He's gonna have more wedges than most.
Right.
You know, typically the wedge game is in the par five category for most, and then a couple of other par fours around the way where it's full wedge shots.
Right.
Dustin, he's in the category long beyond that. And so he did the TrackMan thing, and the beauty of having technology like that to utilize. You talk about dialing in your golf swing. You know, when they say, hit me a 90-yard shot, hit me a 112-yard shot, they're hitting it. The number comes up 112.
Yeah.
That this is
what's got three wedges, he said, and he can hit three distances on each of those wedges.
And that's, yeah, that's.
So basically, he could go out with a driver, say a 4-iron, and those three wedges and a putter and be pretty good,
right.
Basically.
It would be interesting to see what they would score if they played a reduced number of clubs.
Right.
I would think a player like Dustin would have a significant advantage because of his length. And if it's the fewer the clubs, the better. You know, the old one club tournament they.
My friend Thad Daber, world one club champion.
You know, that's a challenge. And, I take the people who have a chance when they play a lot of golf to maybe break up the monotony is try to play golf with using 3 or 4 clubs only.
Right.
And just, you know, find yourself hitting a 7-iron from 190 yards or having to lay up and pitch with a 7-iron from 40 yards.
Right.
You know, those are different things that you, you know, to challenge your skill of golf. And it's I think he would be, without a doubt, the guy I'd take to win
too.
The one club.
I'll take you. I would take you.
Dustin.
All right.
It's all good. He should have a big year. I think he's going to.
He will.
He'll keep number one.
He's one of the people I talk about during the week that I hate. Because he's married to Paulina Gretzky. Wayne Gretzky is his father-in-law.
Right, right.
And he's number one in the world and has all this money, and I hate him. Anyway, I'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Thanks, pal.
Thanks.
You're listening to Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence. We've missed a couple of water hazards on the front nine. Now let's see what the back nine has in store for us. Back to Matthew Lawrence.
Well, you know, if you've been listening to Backspin Golf for the last 4 years, which I assume you have, because that's what you all tell me when I'm out and about, you've heard this guy before. One of my favorite people. I don't know why. He has no redeeming qualities. Maybe that's why I love the guy. Frank Bassett, who is the co-host of Golf Talk America on PGAtour.com. Man of many talents, none of which I've ever seen, but I've heard he has many talents, joins us now. Hi, Frankie Bassett.
How are you, Sir Matthew of Lawrence?
Thank you. Thank you. That's how I should be addressed. I'm doing well. Thanks for jumping on with us because, you know, this whole Golf Talk America thing, I have to say, if you go to PGAtour.com/podcast. You can listen to all the great, and I'm not kidding now. There's a ton of great stuff up there, but you guys are big time. I mean, your affiliation on your website, it even has the picture of the PGA Tour thing. This is pretty official crap, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. We're thrilled to be part of the PGA Tour family and the PGA Tour itself, as well as PGA Tour Radio. It's been a real crazy roller coaster ride getting to this point, but boy, was it worth it! It's a lot of fun, and meeting people like yourself, and I mean that in all sincerity.
Yeah.
Out there that are seasoned radio and television and Hollywood movies.
Yeah,
guys. I mean, y'all are great too. So it's been a fun ride.
And by the way, there's a great picture of you on this website being held up by the European. Looks like the European team. Here, who are these guys? Yeah, where is
that? That was the Ryder Cup.
Yeah,
that was at the Ryder Cup in Chaska,
Minnesota,
this past year. And I was doing the show and doing some interviews, and they said, "Do you mind if we pick you up?" And I thought, like, on the shoulders, just for a picture. I said, "Sure." So they grabbed me and flipped me on my side, and those are the Guardians of the Cup. It's a group of guys from Europe that are best friends, travel around together. They're doctors and lawyers and business people. And those are their uniforms, and they go to every Ryder Cup trying to guard the cup and keep it in Europe.
This is one of the great pictures ever, though. These guys are, I can't even describe it. You should just go to the website and you'll be able to see it. All right, let's talk a little golf here, which is basically what we do on this show. And Golf Talk America would be the perfect guys to talk to about it. That's just my feeling. We just had the tournament. I want to talk to you about our tournament, which moved from that golf course in Florida, which I don't mention names. I could say Doral. I could say Doral. But was moved to Mexico City this year. And I watched that tournament, and I thought, this is fantastic. To be played at a golf course that was 42,000 feet of altitude. And, I mean, we watched Dustin Johnson and these guys hit it every week. But to see them in rarefied air was, for 4 days, was unbelievable. The chances they took, different lines going over trees with six irons and all kinds of stuff. I thought it was a great week for the PGA Tour.
It really was. There was a lot of skepticism about this tournament at PGA Tour headquarters. Now, I say skepticism. Maybe that's the wrong word. There was a lot of concern because, you know, of the Florida swing getting disrupted, moving it to Mexico City, 7,000-plus feet of altitude there. And I knew on day one, the player, even in the practice rounds and the pro-am, the players were out there trying to figure out, you know, what do I do? 15% back? Do I pull back 15%, 20% of my swing to adjust for that altitude? And it caused some issues, but the boys caught on pretty quick, and it was very impressive to see those guys hitting 400-yard drives. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, but they still had to chip. They still had to putt. And, oh, yeah, look who won the tournament. I mean, how good is he? Really, how good is he?
He's phenomenal, and he's the Michael Phelps. What Michael Phelps is to swimming, I think Dustin Johnson could beat to golf. I'm honest about that. I mean, he's incredible. The man has more flexibility than the guy who used to tie himself in a knot at the surf.
Yeah. He's a great athlete. I mean, he's a great athlete. And at his size, how tall he is, and once he worked on his wedge game and actually seems to have gotten serious about this golf thing, I mean, two wins in a row, and he really is at a point where for the next 10 years, it's going to be all the young guys against him, and it's going to be great.
Well, you know, Matthew, he has the demeanor also of nothing shakes him.
Right.
Nothing bothers him. He's just steady Eddie, so to speak. And it's incredible the way he plays. Just nothing shakes him up.
Yep.
Now, he may be a basket case inside. We don't know that, but he'll never let you know that. Reminds me of a guy that was unbelievable for 10 years, the same way.
Yeah.
Except he showed more emotion, Tiger Woods. But
right.
You still couldn't get inside his head.
Right.
And I think Dustin's basically the same thing.
Well,
it's incredible.
I want to
say something about the Florida swing
in
Mexico and get your opinion on this. I know you're supposed to ask the question.
No, that's fine.
But
I love this.
Ask you. They disrupted the Florida swing for this. Now, for whatever reasons, and I really don't want to go into it, again, I'm part of the PGA Tour, so we just don't want to do that.
Yeah.
But boy, how disruptive is it to come from the West Coast to the East Coast, go back to Mexico, altitude changes, time changes, then back to Florida? And do you think that has anything to do with the fact that a lot of the guys, a lot of the in the top 50, are not playing at Arnold Palmer's tournament, in homage to Mr. Palmer, his first year of the tournament after his passing?
Right. Well, I'm glad you asked, actually. I have very strong feelings about this. My first feeling is too bad. Too bad they disrupted the Florida swing. I mean, these guys are, they have to go from the West Coast to Florida, okay? You know, a third of them on private jets, I might add. That's number one. Then they... look, I'm not, you know, I know back golf like you know back golf. I'm not taking anything away from how hard these guys work at what they do, but they're playing golf. So get to Florida. Oh, and now you have to go to altitude, and then you have to go back to Tampa. How horrible. How horrible for you guys. That's number one. Number two, that any of the top players, I think I saw 50 out of the top 125 are going to be there, and 10 of the top 25 only are going to be there is disgusting to me. There, this year, next year, okay, this year, every single player that can make that field should be there to pay their respects to Arnold Palmer, who, by the way, other than Tiger Woods, the reason you're doing what you're doing is because of Arnold Palmer. I think it's horrible.
I agree 100%. I think that the homage to Mr. Palmer is important. And in fact, it's the most important thing that could occur in golf this year, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And there was an article that came out today, and I won't plug the magazine or whatever, or online magazine, but came out today saying, well, homage was paid to him last year because the whispers around the course were he's not going to make it another year. I disagree with that totally.
Yeah.
I think it's disgusting that the whole – everybody who could be there should be there this week.
Right.
Every player.
Yep, I agree. I think it's
just,
horrible.
The man was he's an incredible man, and it just still gets me every time I think about him.
Yeah.
He's just he was everything to me in golf.
Yeah.
He's the reason I'm crazy about golf.
Well, and millions of other people. And, you know, one of the greatest things about his tournament, but also Jack's, when they play at Muirfield, is that Sunday. Now, Arnold was there the whole week, and Jack's there. That Sunday, when guys came off the course group by group and went over and shook Arnold Palmer's hand, and he would thank them for coming, that's one of the great scenes every year in golf. And that he's not there anymore is not only really sad, but it's going to make it. That's why everybody should be there, all of them.
Yeah, I agree.
So,
Matthew, I agree 100%. You know, it's like Byron Nelson after his passing.
Right.
He was always there to shake their hand.
Yes.
Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus.
Right.
So who do you think is going to be there to greet the players as they come off on Sunday, on 18?
I really don't know. That's a really good question.
I would think that the Palmer family
should
do it. I think that as a group, they should all be there together.
Yeah.
Sam Saunders, his widow.
Yeah.
Also, I think that would just—I'd be in tears.
I have a feeling she'll be there, and hopefully Sam will be playing and come off.
Well, yeah, exactly. But well, I hope Sam makes the cut.
Yeah, me too. That's what I mean.
Doesn't have to be there, but
all right.
Great tournament. We got a great tournament this week at Valspar.
Yes,
it's over at Palm Harbor. It's I have to tell you what we said today, Matthew, on the show this morning. I've been coming up with some little quirks. You know how I do. I'm flippant sometimes, but I'm having fun with it. Is that Valspar, this tournament, the Valspar Championship, is the most colorful tournament on the PGA Tour.
Why is that?
I don't know. I think it's a paint company that... we talked about it earlier, but I got to tell you. Now, Tommy Fleetwood had one of the best rounds he's ever had last week.
Yeah, this is good.
He comes off 18. And his caddy high-fives him. Well, Tommy didn't hold his hand in the right spot, so when his caddy high-fived him, his hand came back and hit him right in the eye, right in the face.
Yeah.
And he kind of shook it off and walked off. So we've given Tommy Fleetwood a new name.
What's
that? We call him Fleetwood Smack.
You guys. But this is why we love Golf Talk America. All right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make you a semi-regular this year. I haven't told you this, but we're going to talk to you quite often, if that's okay with you, as we go through this season, and you're just the best, and I love you, and I hope I see you at French Lick at the end of April. I'll be up there doing a show.
Well, we will see you there, and I want you on my show, too. I mean, you're great.
Anytime.
You're a good friend, a really good friend. Buddy.
Anytime.
I really appreciate you very much.
All right.
Also, if you happen to get to the Masters, or your listeners get to the Masters.
Yeah, I won't be there.
Stop by the Azalea House and see us.
Oh.
AzaleaHospitality.com. We'll be live there every day.
Yeah, forget what I said about you. Oh, come by see us at the Masters. Okay.
Well, come you. I
can't be there. I have other responsibilities.
Got a house for you. Come be our guest. Come stay.
Done. I'll see you on Tuesday.
Come stay at the house and co-host with us.
I'll see you on Tuesday. Okay.
Okay. I mean it.
All right. Yeah. I'm going to make some arrangements here, and I'll talk to you about it.
Okay. That sounds good. It's an open invitation.
All right. Thanks, pal. Love you.
Hey, love you too, pal. Thank
see
you
so
much.
Bye.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Lexington Parks and Recreation. Book your tee time at one of their five public courses at lexingtonky.gov. Play golf, Lexington.
Joining us now on Backspin is a friend of mine who I've known for quite a while, I realized, in a different capacity, but I love it in this capacity too. Matt Saturnus joins us with Plugged In Golf. You can follow him on Twitter at Matt Saturnus, MattSaturnus, or PluggedInGolf.com. And that's really where I want you to go because this website is fantastic. Hey, Matt, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. Thanks for joining us. It's great to talk to you again.
Always good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Okay. So Plugged In Golf, when you go to the website, it is chock full of all kinds of great stuff. I want to talk to you a little today about some of the since the season is really just starting, unless you live in Florida or California, the season's just starting. So I want to talk to you about a couple of new things that people might be interested on. But I want to start off with, you have an instruction place on the site, and I was just cruising through it because we're all looking for videos and things to help us, and it's great. Talk to us a little bit about the instructors you have on the site.
Yeah, we're really lucky to have some great instructors who share content with our readers. I write a little bit of stuff, but the guys who are much better at it are, for one, Tyler Parsons.
Mm-hmm.
He's Justin Thomas's fitness coach from the PGA Tour.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, well, that's not working, clearly. Yeah. I don't know, you know, right. What's he doing?
Yeah, he's only hitting the ball 400 yards, right?
And he's like 5'9", 150 or something.
Which makes me and you probably feel terrible. You know,
yes, it does.
We make him look tiny, and then he makes us feel terrible.
Yes, he does. But, exactly.
So he's out there giving us awesome advice about how to stay injury-free, how to hit the ball farther, how to fix all the different impingements we have from sitting in chairs all day.
Mm-hmm.
So the stuff he gives us is fantastic. Adam Young, who's a British instructor, who's got a really interesting perspective on how to teach the swing. It's definitely not your cookie-cutter approach, and he's mm-hmm. been sharing some stuff with us. He's got a lesson up right now about not hitting it fat anymore, which, especially in the spring and the sloppy conditions, that's really important.
Yeah, I just actually looked at that this morning. It's great. It's really great.
Yeah, and really makes some concepts really clear, some things that people really misunderstand and misuse when they talk about them. So we have a lot of great stuff up there to definitely help people with all aspects of their game.
All right, so that's the instruction stuff. You also have things on the site about, it's called Bag Chatter. I'm looking at it right now. There's a golf ball buyer's guide, the best golf lesson I've ever had, just different subjects. And then I don't think would you say that the product reviews are the main focus of the site?
Yeah, definitely. That's the majority of our content is reviewing clubs and training aids and golf balls and apparel and really anything that's even remotely connected to golf.
Right. All right. Here's what I want to ask you, and I've talked to a couple different people, but this Callaway Epic driver, which a lot of people are talking about, and apparently it has nothing to do with your swing. It all has to do with this driver, and it'll turn you into Dustin Johnson all of a sudden. talk to us a little bit about this Epic driver. It's pretty pricey for a driver. Should I get one or not?
Well, the thing I'll give you my universal recommendation before anything else, which is if you're going to buy any clubs, get fit.
Mm-hmm.
Because much more than any particular new club, getting fit is what's going to make a difference. Getting the right shaft, the right loft, the right weight, all those different things are so much more important than whether it's an Epic or an M1 or a Shrixon or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all that said, in the Epic driver, they have something that is legitimately new and interesting. They call it jailbreak technology.
It's a couple pieces of metal that look like jail bars, and they connect the head and the sole of the driver. So what they tell you is that that changes the way the parts of the club interact when you hit the ball, and it produces more ball speed. And I can't speak to the physics of it, but I know that when we tested it, ball speeds were great, as high as anything else. The forgiveness was really good. And the thing that I think stands out that most people, I think, comment on right away is it just feels so solid. It feels really different than any other driver that I've hit in a long time.
Wow. Well, that's pretty good, because especially on the amateur level, the feeling of the club, I think that's why a lot of us, anytime you get a new club and it feels really good to you, it for a while, until your swing starts showing up and you may not hit it as well, it always, that confidence in having a solid club and something that feels good to your in your hands is a big deal for most of us.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, if you don't like the way a club feels, there's no fixing that. If you don't like the way it looks or the way it feels, move on. Whether it fits you or not, find something else that'll fit you. There's too many options out there to play something you're not enjoying.
And they also make, it's not just the driver, right? They have hybrid clubs too. Is that right?
There are Epic Fairway Woods. There are no Epic hybrids. But there are Epic Fairway Woods.
Okay.
Yeah, and those are also really good. They don't have the jailbreak technology, but they do have a carbon crown, still really good ball speed.
Okay. One other thing. I have a question that I'm going to hold off on for a second. I'm just going through the website as I'm talking to you here, and there's something that says the worst statistic in golf. What would that be?
Fairways hit.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad to know that.
Yeah, and it's not that hitting the fairway isn't important. It's really kind of a simplistic way of thinking about strokes gained. And I don't know how much you get into the analytics and all that, but Mark Brody, it was a few years ago now, really kind of changed the way we look at golf statistics and which ones are meaningful and which ones aren't. Basically, what I just said in the article was, would you rather be in the fairway 200 yards from the green, or would you rather be 100 yards out in the light rough?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So most people, obviously, you'd rather be 100 yards away. The closer you get, the better chance you have of scoring.
Right.
But one of them helps your statistics, one of them hurts your statistics. So you may want to reconsider whether or not tracking your fairways is really a useful thing and whether that's helping you play any better golf. There are probably better ways to think about your driving and evaluate your driving.
Agreed. All right. Here's what I want to ask you, and that's great advice, by the way. So you're a club fitter, is that correct?
Yeah, I don't fit too much anymore, but I've certainly spent a lot of time doing club fittings. Yeah.
How did you get into that? Where does your love of golf come from? Let's put it that way.
I'll tell you this. My dad exposed me to the game when I was little. You know, I had the chance to play all the different sports, and I never really took to golf as a kid. I played basketball growing up. That's all I wanted to do. But every year, as I got a little older, we had a family golf outing, and I would go, and it wasn't, you know, I didn't really particularly enjoy it. But one year, I think I was about 18, I went and played, and I shot a million. I was terrible. And I woke up the next day, and I came downstairs, and I said to my dad, you know, that was terrible yesterday. I had no fun. I hit it all over the planet. And then the worst part about it is I want to do it again today. and something about it just got under my skin, the challenge of it, the fact that you're never really going to master it or perfect it. And I'm still chasing it, still trying to get a little better and hit a few good shots.
Well, it's awesome. And you've turned it into really a fantastic website, and so much of this is a help to all of us, and you know, we're always looking for help from people we trust, and you're certainly one of them. So
thank you.
Thanks for joining us again, and I'll check back in with you as we go through the season and see what else is coming up.
Sounds great. I look forward to it.
All right, thanks, Matt. Take care.
Thank you.
Well, that'll do it for another edition of Backspin Golf. Why did I do that voice, Sean? You have a funny look on your face. I don't know. Some things just happen. just comes out. You get possessed, and that's what you do. I'm so happy that we started Backspin a little earlier than usual, than we have the past few years, because I get to talk to great people like Perry French, Strix on Golf, and our buddy Frank Bassett from Golf Talk America. And seriously, if you've never checked out their podcasts, they have fantastic work on those podcasts from people from all over the world of golf. I was going to ask Frank about if he's ever done the play-by-play on PGA Tour radio, because I might ask him if I can get that gig one weekend, just for a weekend, because it'd be fun to be out on the golf course doing play-by-play. I'm not sure how I'd react. I'd probably lose it when somebody chipped in and think I was at a basketball game or something. It'd be bad. But I bet that would be fun. Anyway, go to pgatour.com/podcasts or golftalkamerica.com to listen to those things. And, of course, our buddy Matt Saturnus from Plugged In Golf. That's a fantastic website with all kinds of product reviews, everything to do with golf, instruction, news from the world of golf. It's really terrific. So you can check that out, too. Of course, I want to thank, as we do every week, our partners on this venture, French Lick Resort. I'll be going up there to do a show in about a month, and I can't wait. If you've never been there, you got to get up there. It's 2 hours and 15 minutes away. Not only two great golf courses, fantastic, two beautiful hotels, 51,000 square foot casino. Lexington Parks and Rec for our five great golf courses. My home course out of the five is Kearney Hill. That is my home course. And Justin Mullinex and all those people do great work over there. And Edwin Watts. Go over to Edwin Watts. It's the start of the season. Great deals going on over there and everything you need for the world of golf. We'll be back next Sunday morning, 8:03 tee time here from the Square Country Club on Backspin Golf right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Have a great Sunday.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Edwin Watts Golf.